Thank you for joining me. This is the Fisheries Podcast, a weekly podcast that shares the stories of the amazing people and projects that make up fisheries science. If you haven't already, follow the podcast on Twitter at FisheriesPod, on Facebook at facebook.com/fisheriespodcast, and Instagram there as well. Or support the podcast on patreon.com/fisheriespodcast, along with Ben, Tyler, Janet, Robin, and John. If you're interested in showing off your support for the show or a favorite fish species, please go check out our merch in the Fisheries Podcast fan shop hosted by Teespring, where you can find t-shirts, hats, stickers, and more. Look for the link in the show description. Today, I'm welcoming the four officers of the nonprofit Wimna Fisheries, Inc. to the podcast. President Chelsea Crandall, Vice President Carrie Flaherty-Walia, Secretary and Treasurer Kim Bonvecchio, and Board Member Janice Kearns. Chelsea is a social scientist focusing on human dimensions of fisheries and wildlife. Carrie is a marine fisheries scientist. Kim is a freshwater fisheries scientist. And Janice is a National Estuarine Reserve manager. Welcome to the podcast, ladies. I'm so excited to talk about Women of Fisheries Group and everything that you've done so far and what you have on the horizon.
Thanks for having us. We're really excited to be here.
So first of all, I just wanted to ask you if you could describe some of the goals and the overall idea behind the Women of Fisheries nonprofit.
Sure. Well, we started in 2018, which we were just realizing makes it almost 3 years ago, which is pretty wild. And our goal was to create a space for women in fisheries to come together and talk about some of the challenges we face, really connect over things, share experiences, and just have a space to support each other and learn from each other. And we've really grown since then, but our underlying, you know, mission and goal has always been to move towards gender equity, to support women in fishery science and figure out how we can tackle some of the challenges and barriers that we face.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And actually, Chelsea, we talked early on, it's been over a year now on the podcast, just kind of when the Women of Fisheries Group was getting started, and it's grown so much from there. And it's so exciting to see and to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's so amazing, right? That so much has happened since we first started. It's awesome.
This is a really, really big undertaking, and you are all some very hardworking folks already with jobs and families and kids and everything else. Why do you think it's important to shine a light on women working in the field of fisheries, Janice?
This has been an amazing experience. It does have a lot of effort, and we do this as a large group effort, but we do this because we all love supporting each other. Even the board members here and the officers here, we meet like once a month and we get that support. And the Facebook page itself just is this large, you know, all the posts that we put on there, we hear these personal stories. And what happens is we find out we're not alone in our struggles, right? Like, you know, for me, working a lot in the freshwater world, I have a tendency to be the only woman in the room. And it's very easy for me to feel like nobody else is feeling what I'm feeling. But our Facebook page and our group, we're not alone. Other people are struggling with the same things that I'm struggling with. And it's just great to have that positive support and helps getting through those struggles and being able to ask, you know, sometimes questions that you don't want to ask. It provides an opportunity for everybody to do that and benefit. So even if you're not asking the question, you're learning from the other person who's struggling just as hard as you are, and being able to see, you know, the recommendations and the support that they're giving as well.
That has been actually a place where I have really benefited actually from being in the group myself. I really appreciate hearing about the experiences of women throughout the whole country. And I know I've told this story before, but it just still like makes me laugh so hard because, like, you know, I was one of the first in the first group of, I don't know, 10 or 15 people to join the group. And I was like, there's going to be like 15 of us. Like, come on. Like, that's all there is in the whole country. Like, it's not going to be that big of a deal. And now there's what, like 1200 members or something like that. And it's really amazing to see just how many women are in the field and how we have similar types of experiences. Can one of you run me through just a few of the different types of work that the group is currently doing?
Sure, I'll talk to you about that. This is Carrie. Hi, Julie. Thanks for having us. So we already kind of touched a little bit on the private Facebook group, and basically that's where it started. And that's kind of the meat of what we do to support women. You know, it's a safe space where we can all talk about issues that affect all of us. And what we've tried to do over the almost 3 years that we've been administering the group is put a few topics in there to kind of spur conversation along. So one of the things we encourage everyone to do once they join the group is introduce themselves. And that way folks can look and see if they have similar interests or if they're even located in the same area. You know, there's some folks like Janice was saying, she, you know, is only the only woman in the room. And you know, there might be someone a county over that is also in fishery science that she could connect with and, you know, have something in common with. And then in addition to that, we also have regular discussions. Sometimes it's organic, it's from the group, and, you know, people just post an issue and then folks support each other. And that's been one of the coolest things that we've seen. And then, you know, if things are a little slow, we'll kind of brainstorm amongst ourselves and think up a good discussion topic. So, for example, we've had topics ranging from field work while you're a woman in fisheries. You know, what do you do when you're in the field and, you know, you're pregnant, or if you're, you know, pumping, or if you have to go to the bathroom, you know, just, you know, things like that. And then every month we put up a post about career opportunities. So that's at the beginning of the month. And the idea behind that is not only just for job opportunities, but for also individual opportunities that may be underrepresented by women in fishery science. So like committee memberships and things like that. And then we've also done some theme months. So like one month we had, you know, it's jobs month. Let's do a couple topics on that. And then another month we had a networking month where, you know, we talked about the different disciplines that people were in so that they connect with each other. And then in addition to that, we also started a mentorship program, which Chelsea can talk to you a little bit about later. And then we also have a book club that we've started. We've read 3 or so books and have kind of tried to discuss them online, and you know, it's another kind of social way to interact. And then we also have hosted some events. So we've done a couple of happy hours. One was associated with the AFS meeting, the virtual AFS meeting this past year. And then we also have an event, a fundraiser called the Fisher Adventure Classic that Kim can talk about later. And then the website. So if you go to womenoffisheries.org, we've got a lot of information there. And you know, we're doing blog posts every Monday on profiles of women in fisheries. We're also summarizing recent research articles by women in fisheries. We put some general discussion summaries, like some of the things that we've discussed on the private Facebook group without, you know, naming names or anything, just kind of like a general consensus of what the group thinks about a certain issue. And then We do have some women that have come in and are helping us with that too, a new committee. So that's kind of what we're going on. So it's a lot.
It is. it is. And I really want to talk about several of those specific areas too. So yeah, it is. It's amazing just how big and vibrant of a community you've built over the last few years.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Julie, I wanted to add on to what Carrie said and a little bit about what I had said before, in that, you know, why we do this and the things that we have going on and the purpose behind the website was, in addition to everything we mentioned about the private group and wanting to have that support, we started the website and, you know, we wrote the Women in Fisheries Allies paper so that we could also bring in the larger community into the conversation and find those allies and give resources to, you know, our male colleagues that, you know, we have all of us in this group have been supported by men in our field. And we wanted to also bring them into the conversation and give them resources that could help make those allies even stronger and more numerous.
That is definitely true. Very, very good point. One of the areas that I've really benefited from within the group is the mentorship program. And I was wondering if Chelsea could just tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, definitely. One of the many efforts we have to continue to build these support networks and connect women with each other. And This actually came out of, so when we first were getting started, we did a survey of the folks that were in the Women of Fisheries group to say, hey, what do you think so far? What do you want to see? And mentorship came up a lot from a lot of our members. So this was an effort to speak to that and try to provide more opportunities for mentorship for women in our group. And a lot of women who are new in our field don't have women they can turn to as mentors. So, you know, building those connections across the country was a part of this. And it's funny because when we were starting it, it was sort of an experiment to see, hey, can this work virtually? Can we connect people for mentorship using Skype and things like that? And then everything changed and we all got really used to talking to each other virtually. So I imagine now, you know, we're like, okay, of course that would work. Why wouldn't that work? But at the time it was sort of an experiment. And so we started it as a pilot with, what was it? I think 40 women or something like that. I can't remember the exact number, to see how it went and get feedback. And we learned some things and we're hoping to grow that and launch it even more in future to continue to provide those opportunities for new women in the field to have mentors they can turn to and connect with and learn from.
Yeah, well, I got connected with a mentor that way. And like, I don't know what this is, maybe 2 years later, we still talk and text and, you know, share on a regular basis. And that's definitely someone who I have a lot in common with, but I don't think that I would have run into on my own. So it's really, really exciting.
That's awesome to hear.
Carrie, you mentioned that there is an online book club. I, again, have benefited from this as well. I've read the books and I haven't participated much in the discussions, but I really, really love that, you know, we can throw out there fish or ocean themed books to be reading about.
Yeah. So before I answer the question on the book club, I just want to touch on the mentorship thing too. So yeah. I've been communicating with my mentee quite a bit as well. And, you know, she's reached out to me about, you know, dilemmas about, you know, job decisions and things like that. And it's been really great. We actually have a lot in common as well. So it's been really cool to, you know, interact with someone across the country and, you know that you have kind of similar interests. And the other funny thing is Chelsea mentioned, we're all getting used to this virtual thing. So we started out like FaceTiming. And then once we started doing the virtual thing, she was like, can we just call each other? Because I'm just so burnt out of the video stuff. So, you know, it's been cool. Like I've enjoyed it as well. As far as the book club is concerned, so I've got two little kids and I love to read, but I realized that I hadn't read a book in probably 5 years. So it was kind of my idea to, you know what, this is going to make me read books. And so it kind of grew from there. And the first book that we did was Remarkable Creatures, which is about the woman who, Mary Anning, who discovered all the ichthyosaur fossils in England, and it was really fascinating. And you know, we started from there. And then last year we did a book called Headstrong, and it's about 52 women that influenced science. And that one was really cool because it gave us something to do each week. So we would switch turns and take a profile each week, 52 weeks, 52 women. And you know, I know I learned a lot about, you know, just some amazing accomplishments of, you know, historical women in science, not necessarily fisheries. And right now we're reading The Island of Sea Women, which I know you've finished, Julie.
I did. I haven't finished it yet. It was so good.
Yeah. So
I recommended it to my mom. She read it. And then she started reading Lisa C's, some of her other books.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually gave The Remarkable Creature once to my mom and she really liked it. So, you know, it's it's spreading beyond even our little circle. So I would say, you know, the discussions haven't been super lively, but I'm glad that at least from your perspective that, you know, it's good to have an excuse to pick up a good book. So
I'm wearing a Women of Fisheries t-shirt right now, and so is Carrie.
Me too.
I adore this logo. I think it's one of the prettiest logos I've probably ever seen in my entire life. How did it come about?
Yeah, I love it too. It really encompasses what, I mean, who we are, right? It started out actually as a contest on the private Facebook group. And, you know, Obviously, you know, this is a labor of love, so we don't, you know, really have the funds to pay someone to do a logo, right? So we put it out to the membership and we got a few entries, and Erica Wasner of Erica Wasner Designs is the one who ended up developing the logo that we chose. And she's actually someone that has worked with me previously, and she did a logo for one of the AFS meetings as well, and she's just so talented. We really basically just said, hey, we wanted a logo that's going to encompass, you know, all the disciplines that we do. You know, we want to make sure there's a representation of freshwater fishes and marine fishes, and, you know, just like being a woman in fisheries. And she came up with it herself, you know. So she basically gave us a draft and we said, whoa, that's it. That's exactly it. So yeah, if you're interested in her work, I would definitely check her out. Definitely. And speaking of the logo, so Erica, after she designed the logo, she actually set up our web shop for us. And then, you know, we've got a lot of products on there. If people want to support women of fisheries, they could buy a cool t-shirt. We've even got like onesies for little kids and mugs and things like that. So I'm going to go ahead and toss it over to Kim, because she's going to been managing our web shop for us.
So like Carrie said, yeah, we have on Spreadshirt, we have a shop there, and it has all kinds of interesting things there for all kinds of interests. And I think all of us have purchased some of our favorites already. And we've actually even have a web shop for some of our events that we've had. So some specialized things there, and a portion of that does come back to us. And I think that that's something I wasn't really familiar with, is the costs involved just having a website and having a nonprofit. And so a lot of this, you know, the fundraising has become, you know, quite important just to keep, you know, it running. And then also to try to offer, you know, to fundraise for some of our initiatives as well. So
I know one of your major fundraising events every year, or
this will be the second.
The second year is the Fish Her Adventure Classic. And do you want to tell me a little bit more about that?
Sure. And, you know, I actually came, you know, I was kind of like the last one of our group that kind of came on board. And so 2020 was kind of my initiation into this aspect of the group. And one of the first things I got to work on is the Fisher Adventure Classic. And it was really fun. It was our first fundraiser. And of course, we tried doing this in probably one of the most challenging parts of my career, with COVID being there and then having supporters and people all over, you know, the world and in the country. You know, how do you bring people together and do something that was fun, as well as, you know, kind of, you know, producing a community? And so one of the things that we had discussed was doing some kind of virtual 5K type event. But we wanted to kind of make it a little bit more open. We, you know, we all have a diverse interests, and we kind of wanted to, you know, highlight some of that. So we kind of opened it up to anything that was outdoorsy. So whether you liked hiking or kayaking or biking, and, you know, just kind of allow people to participate in how they wanted to participate and in support of us. So we ended up having 29 participants. This was throughout the month of October. And we had some fun little prizes, you know, the most impressive adventure, the most interesting location, the best adventure story. And it was just so much fun. And it was a way that everyone can come together, but also help support some of the stuff that we're trying to do and get off the ground.
I remember seeing a lot of the pictures from people doing their adventures. I definitely plan to participate this year in 2021.
Yeah, there were some really fun stories, and I really got a chuckle out of some of the adventures. So I was really happy to read a lot of those and those pictures that people submitted. It was really fun.
Actually, in retrospect, I feel like maybe last fall was a good time to be doing something sort of virtual like that, because it was far enough into the pandemic that people were really looking for outdoor activities and they were kind of used to doing stuff on their own and stuff like that. And I mean, obviously challenging, super, super challenging, but also like maybe a good time for people to start thinking about those kinds of things. One of the things that Carrie touched on earlier was that on your website, you have a really consistent blog section and also, you know, discussion forums that are often distilled from the private Facebook group discussions. And one of the recent ones was actually that was up, you know, on the main website, was titled, "Okay, but where do I pee?" which was kind of a condensed version of a much larger discussion within the Facebook group, like I said. So I have to admit, I've been doing this kind of work outdoors, you know, with mixed gender crews for quite a while. And it's kind of something that I'd totally forgotten was an issue for a lot of people. And so I'm really glad that it got brought up, you know, into the consciousness of a lot of people, because it can be a significant barrier to, you know, a lot of different types of people, women, men, whoever, working in the field in small groups. How do you kind of view these sorts of discussions?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've kind of hit on it a bit already. I think these discussions started within the private group as a space for women to talk with each other about these things. You know, like we said, realize sometimes we're not the only ones experiencing stuff. Ask questions like, hey, where do I pee, that we maybe not feel comfortable asking in the field crew and other spaces like that. We've had questions about, okay, I have to pump in the field, you know, what do I do? How do I navigate these situations and all those sorts of things? And so then as we became more outward facing, we wanted to share these conversations that women are having and these struggles and barriers that women are talking about amongst each other with others, with people who want to be allies and who just might not even be aware that this is a barrier that women are navigating. And the where do I pee one is a great example of that. We've had a couple of conversations ourselves with friends who would think themselves, you know, want to be allies, who this wasn't even on their radar, that when you show up in a boat and you're not used to being in the field and no one tells you anything, you're like, what, how, and there's, you know, you're out in the water in this tiny boat, how do I pee? And then there were supervisors who said, I don't know how to have this conversation with my field staff without it being weird and awkward. So that's a good example of a space where we said, okay, let's ask our women, let's come up with what advice we have and then share that with others. Say, hey, this is what we can do to navigate this challenge. So again, it's all about putting these things in the consciousness, raising awareness and flagging that, hey, you might not realize that this is a challenge for some people, but it is, and we should be thinking about it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like I said, I mean, I've been sort of a woman working outdoors for 20 years now, and I'm at the point where it wouldn't even come up in my brain, right? Like, it isn't a thing anymore. It's just kind of like, yeah, we'll figure it out. Obviously, that's going to be an issue for people. And it is something that, you know, supervisors should be proactive about, to talk to their employees about it. And so I'm so glad that you are doing the work of bringing it out into the consciousness of the general, or the, I don't know, the more general fisheries science public.
Hey, Julie, I also wanted to add that, yeah, you know, that is a great example where that conversation continued. I think it was brought up at another blog that, you know, these kinds of questions aren't just questions women are asking. These are questions, you know, people who have gender identities that we don't maybe identify with, or, you know, people have different feelings about peeing off the end of a boat, whether, you know, however they might identify. And this allows a more open conversation to allow for diversity in the field for people with different backgrounds, and, you know, just makes it a more honest conversation, a more transparent conversation, so that people can, whether you're a woman or not, it's, you know, I like how this conversation built and helped the larger community in general.
That's such a good point, Janice. This is definitely a good example of a space where, you know, everyone can benefit from having these conversations and being aware of these things. And I lost my train of thought there.
No, absolutely. So I want to throw this out to everybody and give everybody kind of a chance to talk to this question. But one of the things that I do like to ask guests is, what do you think is the best memory you have sort of in this context tied to the group so far?
I was going to actually bring up my best memory is actually before the development of the formal official group. and is kind of the origins of the group, is that back when the AFS meeting was in Tampa, I was asked to, or I signed up to be a mentor for the mentor mentee lunch. And then somebody didn't have a mentor, so somebody else added an on. So I got two mentees. And I was like, well, maybe I should, you know, meet up with some of my other colleagues and we can have like a larger luncheon so that these individuals can, you know, see many women. And it ended up being this organic thing. I think that we had close to maybe 20 mentors, mentees sitting around this very large table. And it was just this wonderful conversation. And it's probably the first time I've ever sat down with that many women in fisheries at one time. And so Chelsea was there. I think Carrie was off running the meeting, so she wasn't able to attend. But yeah, it was a great experience. And I think it kind of was impactful, not only to myself, but lots of other people, and spurred on, I think, a little bit of the women in fisheries.
I'll second that, Janice, because I was actually there. Yeah. And you kind of asked me last minute and I was like, you know, yeah, you know, and then I left going, oh my goodness, like there's a whole community here. And I never had a lot of women around me because like you, I'm in freshwater fisheries. And so I really just kind of got used to being, you know, just the one of few, if only women in the room. So it was really, I remember in particular talking to other moms in fisheries or moms that are people that wanted to be a mom. And they started asking me, well, how did you do it? And, you know, in, as you know, my career and the way I went through that process of being a mom, especially when the children were younger, was a little bit different than what a lot of other had done. And I was like, I just couldn't believe it, that I could provide something that was of meaning to somebody else. And then to hear how other people managed it too. I don't know. I just thought that was just a great community, but I never realized what I was missing, I guess, until you brought those people together that day.
Yeah, I remember, I think quite a few people had conversations about being parents. And then I think Julie had her firstborn at the time. I feel like Patrick brought up her baby to the table and we had a whole conversation about kids and professional conferences and how do you have two fisheries biologists in the same family and coming to a conference. This is still an ongoing struggle that I know like quite a few people here struggle with.
Yeah, at the time my baby I think was 7 or 8 months old, and my husband was also part of the running that meeting, and it was tough. That was a tough meeting. We brought a grandma in to take care of him. It still wasn't really enough. Definitely. And
yeah.
It is, you know, it can feel very isolating, but it is fantastic to have those kinds of, you know, discussions and the community.
My 2-month-old with me strapped to me during that entire meeting, as did Chelsea. So we've got a few pictures of us at socials, just like with the babies wrapped on us. You know, you plan those meetings 4 years out. I had no idea I was going to have a 2-month-old at the time. So that happens. I was going to mention one of my favorite memories. This is Carrie, was you know, kind of after the group got started, the AFS Reno meeting was happening, and that was the joint one with Women of Wildlife. And we decided to kind of put together another type of luncheon like that. And, you know, it was a little bit more pre-planned, but still a little impromptu. You know, we kind of all met at the casino lunch spot, and we had a couple of tables and, you know, met up with some people within the group that we never would have met otherwise. And a lot of them were students. So I felt like that was a really impactful thing. And then we also were able to participate in the Women of Wildlife Social, which they've got a very well-formed group, and they do a Women of Wildlife Social at every single one of their meetings. And they asked us to give them pictures and of people from Women of Fisheries, and they had a slideshow. So it was interspersed with, you know, Women of Wildlife and Women of Fisheries. And, you know, by being able to meet up at that social, we were able to connect with people that we had only talked with online. And we're giving out stickers. Like, there was a lot of pride involved, you know. So that was a really cool memory for me. And we were trying to build on that for the 2020 meeting, but you know how that went.
So I guess I'll jump in.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I'm kind of the newbie of this group behind the scenes. And so for me, I think the best memory I had is my, you know, my first big project, which was working on the Fisher Adventure Classic and just seeing women coming together and their allies and just having a good time and having a community, but also seeing that they were doing that in order to support what we as a group were doing. And so to see that support, as well as to be, you know, behind that effort, for me, you know, really made me feel like I was really part of this thing, and I was seeing a movement that I was really proud to be a part of. So for me, I think that's where I'm at, and I'm hoping that there'll be even more memories as we go on and grow.
Chelsea, what about you?
Yeah, so I'll speak to something that happened really, really recently. So the Florida chapter of AFS gave Women of Fisheries their Outstanding Achievement Award, and that really meant a lot to us because, you know, to hear about the impact that the group is having and the reach that we have, you know, you do these things and you hope that you're making a difference and you hope that you're having a positive impact. And so to hear that was just really amazing.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thanks, Julie. It was really awesome just because we know that the group itself was doing well, but the fact that people that were outside of the group were actually hearing about it and hearing positive things, that's what really made it special.
What is on the horizon for the Women of Fisheries? What are some of your future plans?
So this is Janice. Our future plans. We have a number of ideas that we would like to expand, not only the board members, since I'm the only board member, we would like to make us more inclusive and get more input from individuals that could be mentors to us, expand the ideas, bring diversity of opinions into what we're doing so that we can reach all audiences. You know, Carrie, Chelsea, and Kim and I, of course, have all known each other before the development of the group. And it's always great to get somebody from outside of our own sphere so that we can see things that we're not currently seeing. So we're looking to expand the number of board members and our social media presence. I think we've done an excellent job in having regular posts that are relevant to lots of people, but even expanding what we're doing there and what platforms we might be reaching eventually. We're focused primarily on the website and Facebook. And so we'll probably need our social media committee to actually reach on to some of those other platforms that maybe we don't have as much experience with. In addition, over the next year, I am going to try to develop a fundraising committee. There's so much that we want to do and support that we want to give to women out there. And that requires some level of sponsorship and funding. And so Kim has done an excellent job with the Fisher Adventure Classic. We brought in a little bit of funds there, but we also want to build upon that so that we have money for travel scholarships, for awards, for helping funding, maybe mentor our leadership retreats that we can actually provide some of these in person eventually, cross our fingers, in person events where we can again just build off of what we're doing. I mentioned a little bit, we would like to have some specific awards. A lot of times in our history, I think it's been clearly documented that, you know, there are awards that have been given in the past and they have been to a certain segment of the fisheries professionals, primarily men. And we want to lift up all of the women for all of the great work they're doing. And so we want to identify that through awards that we might be able to give them. So yes, awards, scholarships, annual meetings, retreats. We have big ideas. And hopefully when we get past COVID, we can do some more stuff. But right now the virtual world has been exploding and we will have more happy hours and we will have more events in terms of mentorship and skill building going forward. So yeah, those are the kinds of things that we like to see in the future, is building our support, building our network, building the skills and awareness of our audience.
Are there plans in the works for the Baltimore American Fisheries Society meeting?
As of right now, we don't have anything specifically planned. We're still trying to figure that out in terms of, you know, COVID related things and travel situations for each of us. So that is currently a question mark at this point. I was saying to everyone prior to this meeting that I'm very much looking forward to the 2022 meeting. That should be a big collaborative meeting with multiple different societies. And so looking forward to having a big event then.
Can I add one more thing for—
Yes, please.
Future? And Janice, you kind of hit on this a little bit, but one thing that's kind of wild about this board and all of us is that we have still not met in person to talk about women of fisheries. This has all been done virtually. And so one thing we'd love to do whenever COVID allows is for us to get together and, you know, have a hug like, and have a face-to-face talk about our future plans.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
I started on the podcast prior to COVID, but I've actually never met any of the other co-hosts of the podcast either. It's a wild, wild virtual world out here. Now the tough part of the interview is over and it's down to my final three questions. We always like to start off real simple here on the podcast with, what is your favorite fish? And I always want to know, do you have a tattoo of it? Chelsea, do you want to start?
Bat fish. Always bat fish. I love bat fish so much. So they are definitely my favorite fish, but I do not have a tattoo of them. I have no tattoos. I'm very not tattoo exciting.
Carrie, what about you?
So you say that this is the softball part of the interview, but I was telling the other girls that this is actually a really hard question. So I'm just going to go with my favorite study species, which is gray snapper, which you probably know, but I mean, they've just got such attitude. They've got pretty coloration, you know, they taste good, you know, all that good stuff. Gray snapper's my favorite. And, you know, as long as they don't bite my fingers.
They got some gnarly teeth for a little fish.
They do.
Janice, what's yours?
It's funny that Carrie says that because my choice is sunfish in general, like bluegills, because they're feisty. If you ever, like, my favorite thing to do, especially when I was down in Florida where you have these crystal clear springs, is to try to poke them because they are like feisty and they will try to fight back, and they're pretty and they are also delicious. So sunfish in general, bluegills specifically, are one of my favorite fish.
And Kim?
That leaves Kim. I actually have a hard time deciding what is my favorite. So I'm going to give three and then my favorite like study species. I'll do that. So I love the sarcastic fringe head because they're beautiful and they kind of exhibit a behavior that makes me like, that's how I want to feel like some days. Like I just want to go, ah, you know, they're the, like, you've seen the pictures. So I love them. I love the mola molas and I love the whale shark. So those are just kind of fascinating species. I don't work on any of them. However, my favorite overall study fish would be American eel for something that has been a part of the commercial fishery and, you know, and been studied quite a bit. There's just so much we don't know. And the mystery of it, I think to me is just fascinating. Just still not being able to pin down just basic life history information about them, especially in Florida. Just the fact that something can be around and that we commercially harvest them, they're being exported out to other places. And so to have like that and still have so many questions, I don't know. It's kind of like my spirit fish in general. So
can I add one thing?
Yeah.
So Kim, it's funny that you mentioned whale shark. So my six-year-old, his very favorite animal in the whole world is a whale shark. And I just love that that's his favorite. He knows all the stuff about it. He knows it's the largest, you know, and they're so awesome. So kudos Definitely. To you and my six-year-old.
So my second question in this sort of ending to our interview is, what is one dream for the women of fisheries?
So this is Carrie. We thought about this together. There's no specific dream job, but it's important in general to have leaders from all levels. So, you know, not just leaders, you know, that are kind of mid-career or late career, but, you know, students can be leaders, kind of having that dream of folks working together and knowing that everyone's viewpoint matters.
And our final question is always, if there was one point or principle you could have programmed into everyone's head, what would it be?
So this is Janice. One of the things I feel like over the last year that I've learned and experienced from this group and all of the things that are going on in the world is to always question social norms and your own personal biases.
And to add to that, I feel very strongly that everyone should have a voice at the table. All ideas have value. And so we often talk about sometimes when you go into a meeting or any kind of setting, it's important to kind of gauge what kind of voice you have. Oftentimes I feel women don't realize that they have a stronger voice at the table than they think they do. But also this extends to me beyond even women. It's everyone should have a voice, and we need to be aware and kind of looking around. And when you see someone, you know, not having a voice, or maybe you kind of see them kind of starting but then stopping, that we, you know, those that have a stronger voice at the table, it's important that we use that to allow everyone to be heard.
And kind of adding on to what Kim said, one thing that I think all of us have learned over the last couple of years of doing this is that the importance of sharing your experience. So, you know, it first comes down to sharing it amongst other women, of other people that have the same experience, but also sharing it beyond that. So, you know, in order to affect change and make an impact, you know, these experiences need to be well known. It can't be what's known as kind of the whisper network behind the scenes, where, you know, we all know these issues exist, well, at least within our group, but if we don't communicate that to other people, you know, it's not going to change. So that would be kind of my addition to that.
Well, I'm so glad that we could all five of us actually talk at the same time. It's amazing to me that we could make our schedules work like that. And thanks again for everyone agreeing to come on the show together. If people wanted to get in touch with the Women of Fisheries, where could they find the group online?
I think the easiest way for people to find us is the womenoffisheries.org website. It's directly womenoffisheries.org. It has all of our information there. You can join our new email listserv. You can get regular blog posts sent directly to your email, as well as we have links to our Facebook site, our public Facebook site. And on our public Facebook site, I think it also mentions the private one. And then you just answer a few questions to make sure that you're not a robot and you're an actual woman in fishery science, and then you can join our private Facebook group.
Fantastic. And all of that will be in the show notes today as well. Thanks to everybody for listening to this 125th episode of the Fisheries Podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of me, you can find me on Twitter at FishVecchio. The podcast is at Fisheries Pod. On Facebook and Instagram, Fisheries Podcast, or old-fashioned email, feedback@thefisheriespodcast.com. I hope you enjoyed this episode. You can download past, present, and future episodes on your favorite listening app, or stream it from Spotify or thefisheriespodcast.com. And don't forget to head on over to our Patreon page and support the podcast if you feel inclined. I'm Julie Vecchio. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fisheries Podcast. And remember to question social norms, allow everybody's voices at the table, and make sure to share your experiences. Yes, we're doing it. We're doing it. The amazing thing about not doing it live is you just cut it all out.
Sorry for the awkward pause.
It doesn't matter. It will not be awkward. It will not be awkward in the final cut.
Yeah.